It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A 21-year-old man who said he kidnapped 13-year-old Jamie Kloss and killed her parents was formally charged yesterday in Barron County Circuit Court. And the criminal complaint gives us more insight into what transpired on October 15th when Jamie Kloss's parents were murdered in their home and Jamie was kidnapped in a matter of 4 minutes. Rich Kramer is a WPR reporter based in Eau Claire. He's been covering the developments. Rich, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Glad to be back.
Well, we spoke yesterday morning, and help us understand what we've learned since we last spoke with the criminal complaint coming out.
Well, we've learned quite a bit about what transpired the night of the murders and the kidnapping. We learned that Jake Thomas Patterson first saw Jamie Kloss as she got off of a bus. He was driving to a cheese factory in Almena. He said he worked there for about a day or two. And when he saw her get off of the bus, he was behind the bus on Highway 8 in the area. And he said that's when he knew she was the one that he was going to take. The complaint doesn't elaborate on why he wanted to take someone, but that's when he first saw Jamie Kloss. We also learned more about what happened the night that Jamie Kloss was taken, and it was a pretty tough read. He came to the house, the father, James Kloss, came to the front door and apparently thought that Patterson was an officer of some sort. Patterson shot James through the door and made its way into the house after shooting the deadbolt off of the house's door. Then he went through the house looking for Jamie, and Jamie and her mother had barricaded themselves in a bathroom. And Patterson broke down the door and then asked the mother to tape Jamie's mouth shut. And when she wasn't able to do that, he did it himself, restrained Jamie with tape, and then shot the mother.
And this happened in a matter of minutes?
He said it happened in about 4 minutes, and he dragged Jamie out, threw her in the trunk of his car, which he had prepared extensively so that she couldn't get out. He got rid of the safety release inside the trunk that he called the kidnapping handle, you know, the glow-in-the-dark T-cord pull mechanism. And he said as he was driving away, it wasn't 20 seconds until he passed law enforcement. You know, the authorities were on their way, sirens blazing, so he yielded for the police. One of the officers recognized, they saw this lone car on the highway, but they didn't really know what to think of it at the time. They noticed that there was no license plate. That was one of the other things that Patterson did, was he took his license plates off the car. He disabled the light above the license plate on the back of the car, disabled the dome light so that no one would see him getting in and out of the vehicle.
He did a lot of preparation for this.
Yes. Yeah. He also, you know, shaved his head and face. He took a shower, and all in an effort to minimize the possibility that hair or other DNA evidence would be left at the scene. He put on gloves to wipe down the shotgun that he used. It was his father's shotgun, apparently. Wiped down the shells even, and just went to great lengths to try to avoid leaving any trace.
Did we learn more about what happened during those 88 days as Jamie was gone?
Yeah. Patterson and Kloss, you know, testimony from Patterson and Kloss to investigators lays out that the home in Gordon, he lived down in the, he had a room in the basement, and he was keeping Jamie in his room, basically, and whenever he had to leave, he had had a space underneath his bed. It was a twin bed, so he would make her go under the bed, and he would block her in with tote bins filled with heavy weights, like for weightlifting. And he said that way, you know, it was hard for her to get out, but also if she tried to, he would be able to tell that the weights had been moved. He made quite clear that, you know, if she was going to try to escape, he would do bad things to her, and it seemed like he was really using a lot of, a lot of fear to try to keep her from thinking about escaping.
Talking with Rich Kramer, he's WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire, and we're going through the details of the abduction and captivity of Jamie Kloss in the first court hearing yesterday, where Jake Patterson was formally charged with Jamie's abduction and the killing of Jamie's parents, James and Denise Kloss. Rich, what have Patterson's attorneys said in recent days?
Well, I heard one reference, not a whole lot, to be honest, but I did hear one of the defense attorneys, which are, they're public defenders, one of them were quoted as saying, this is a tragic situation. They mentioned something about, they're not sure where they would have to go to get a fair trial. So it almost sounded like they were alluding to maybe a change of venue, but there haven't been any motions filed as to that. But Patterson has admitted to everything. In fact, in the criminal complaint, it almost reads as if he's bragging to investigators. So he told them where to find everything. They've got the evidence, and they've also got the testimony from Jamie Kloss.
Did he say anything yesterday in court?
Not really. He just he waived his right to a preliminary investigation. And he basically, the judge asked, do you understand, that you're waiving your right? And he said, yes, sir. That was about it. Not much happens at these preliminary hearings. It's basically just kind of reading the charges against the defendant. In the courtroom, most of the media was kept out of the courtroom for this. But when the families left, there was a lot of hurt that you could see on the people's faces.
How is the community reacting to yesterday's events?
Well, I didn't really get a chance to get out and talk to community members. Yesterday, I was at the Justice Center and writing up stories. But the community as a whole was just overjoyed at Jamie's return, which we talked about yesterday morning. But
yeah.
These details are pretty horrific, so I imagine it's causing some pain. I mean, even for the reporters covering it, it's been really emotional.
What about bail?
The judge or the state prosecutors asked for a $5 million cash bail to be set, and the judge agreed. And the reasoning for that, the prosecutors say, is all of the steps that he took to avoid detection. It's obvious that he didn't want to be caught. So they said, because of this, and because of the fact that he doesn't really have any ties to Barron County, they needed the excessively large cash bail in order to keep him from fleeing.
They think he's a flight risk.
Absolutely.
So as this investigation proceeds, as this court case proceeds, what are you watching as the case moves forward?
Well, the next thing to watch, I believe, is if there are going to be any charges coming from Douglas County. That is where Jamie was held. She was held in the town of Gordon, which is in Douglas County. Yesterday at the press conference, a brief press conference after the initial appearance, the prosecution, district attorney for Barron County brought up a district attorney for Douglas County, who said charges may be coming in Douglas County. And that makes sense, because it's a whole nother set of crimes that potentially happened up there. There's a lot of questions about whether Jamie was assaulted by this man, and they wouldn't elaborate on that, but maybe if there's child, endangerment or maltreatment sort of charges, those would come from Douglas County, because that's where the crimes would have happened.
Rich, thank you so much for joining us and for your reporting.
Thank you.
Rich Kramer is a WPR reporter based in Eau Claire. He's host of the regional program, The West Side. We've been talking about the details of the Jamie Kloss abduction and captivity, the first court hearing yesterday where Jake Patterson was formally charged with Jamie's abduction and the killing of Jamie's parents, James and Denise Kloss, on October 15th. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.